You made it. Oh, I'm so glad. Have you met everyone?
No, I was here last week.
Let's do introductions around.
Ritu,
Wendy,
Jeffrey,
Ron, Andrew,
Sonia,
Peter,
Rip,
Kathleen,
Ellie.
Angie, I'm glad you could come. And I'm so glad to be here. Ah, it always feels like coming home. I bring greetings from Arcata. Everyone wishes you all well, and please come with me next time, they say. So I hope everybody has a chance to go and meet those people if you haven't. It was a very wonderful retreat. Very small, basic. I think there were six core people who came every day. And then many, many people who were able to come just part of the time, slipping in and out. But it was extremely quiet. First time that they'd really been quiet during the session, and they marveled at what a difference it made. So that was, that for me, that was very gratifying. I wanted to say, I told you so. It's always that way. And then at the end, we had a weekend of events. On Saturday, we had a priest ordination right after the whole thing was over. We just fixed up the Zendo in a different way and dressed up Rose, who has been a student there for since Maile's time. So she was one of Maile's first and best students. And when Maile died, she kind of took over and kept everything going. And all these years, she's just been a vital part of everything that's going on. So her taking the precepts again and learning how to wear a whole big okesa. She's a little small person, so let's try to keep her from getting engulfed in this big black thing that she was wrapping around. It was very, very sweet. A lot of people came, all with big smiles on their faces. And then the next day, two people who've been practicing for a few years there, not very long, did Jukai, took the precepts for the first time and received a bib, a raksu. So that was also another love feast. Filled up the Zendo again and took the precepts again. So it was a very eventful and very gratifying time. We talked about a work of Dogen's called Body-Mind Study of the Way. And those talks were all taped, and you can find them on Arcata Zendo. Arcata, oh, I wrote it down and I can't find it. Arcata Zen Group, all one word, .org. I think if you just write Arcata Zen, it'll come up. There's only one. So it's a very small town. It's a very interesting subject, and we had a good time with it. It was about study. It was about time. It was about being a body and mind, body-mind, all one system. And Dogen had some very interesting things to say about it. So I encourage you all to read that if you are interested. And I wasn't sure where we are in the Genjo Koan. Does anybody remember? Are we on seven? All right. Okay, that's what I thought. And I'll bet Kathleen does not have a copy of this. Is that right?
You're dragging your mic.
Oh, so am. Son of a gun. It's too much gravity around here. Try this again. So, number seven is a very famous one. Very famous. So the ashes is number eight, right? So.
Well, I think that's what I read. We just finished the one about studying the self.
Okay, then we are on number seven. Thank you, Wendy. When one first seeks the Dharma, one strays far from the boundary of the Dharma. When the Dharma is correctly transmitted to the self, one is immediately an original person. If one riding in a boat watches the coast, one mistakenly perceives the coast as moving. If one watches the boat in relation to the surface of the water, then one notices that the boat is moving. Similarly, when we perceive the body and mind in a confused way and grasp all things with a discriminating mind, we mistakenly think that the self-nature of the mind is permanent. When we intimately practice and return right here, it is clear that all things have no fixed self. So this is about right here. This is, he writes a great deal about time. This is one place where he's writing about space. We talk about right now, but right now always includes right here, does it not? And we are often bewildered by misunderstanding our here-ness as things move and change, and begin to think that things are, that we're fixed and everything is moving around us. And that's when we get that sense of being the center of the universe. We're the middle and everything is moving around us. But if we really pay attention, and that's one of the things that Zazen gives us, is that we begin to notice, if we look into the water, that, oh, the boat's moving. We too are moving and changing all the time. So looking for the truth, it's almost inevitable that we sort of go off from the truth because we think it's somewhere else. When one first seeks the Dharma, one strays far from the boundaries of the Dharma. Because there's always this feeling that it's just around the corner, or somebody else must know. Or if I climb this mountain, then that'll be it. There's always some kind of goal, seeking goal. If I'm a really good practicer, then I'll understand it, or I'll see it, or I'll be enlightened. so one is straying far from the boundary. When the Dharma is correctly transmitted to the self, one is immediately an original person, a right here, right now person. A kind of person who understands that there's not one fixed being at the center of the universe, but a constantly changing, transforming package of personhood, beinghood. That it's very active, very dynamic, and not the same. We're not the same person in every context. In fact, we're quite different. And we think, well, that's just me, but it's me only in the sense that right here, right now. We get in a lot of trouble when we try to fix ourselves and be the same person in every single context. It's even a little crazy. If we meet our situation, our right here, right now situation, then we're colored by it. We're affected by it. We become part of the dance of it. So that there's a kind of freedom in this unfixedness, and a kind of even delight. Who knows what the next thing is going to bring? We don't know. We don't know what's going to happen next. It's all opening up continually. I could say one adventure after the other. And of course, we also get in trouble saying, well, I like this one, but I don't like that one, and I want this, but I don't want that. But if we can just be in the right here place, then we don't have to put so many judgments on what's happening. But just see what happens next. It all goes, comes and goes continually. We know that. If we sat down to write what happens in a whole day, it would be an amazing story, moment by moment. Even in the most boring life, it would be very, very interesting. The boat is moving. So, one of the ways of being right here that we begin to learn in Zazen is that it's a kind of alignment. We talk about posture in meditation as aligning the body, straight back, ears even with the shoulders, the nose with the navel, and being sort of held this way from here so that we can breathe more freely. But in some sense, we're aligning with our whole world as we sit in this way. And there's a kind of thought alignment as well, a willingness to align ourselves without knowing, to accept and be one with what's happening. That too is an alignment. Sometimes I think we align in two ways, this way and then this way, the expansive way and the timeline way. And this is the Uji way, the being time, which is right here, right now. And they both come together right here. Where we are, who we are. So again, it makes our life, our real life, very interesting. That's the self that is an immediately original person. Well, I have a lot of notes here. So there's some questions we can ask ourselves. Do we really stay the same? Can we control ourselves so much that we can be exactly the same all the time? What is that like? What kind of particular person are we? Can we know? I read a very interesting book about relationship not long ago, and he said the only way we know ourselves at all is in relation. And that we know ourselves because somebody, something knows us. Doesn't feel like that, does it? It feels like, I know who I am, of course. We are in continual relation, and that's one of the things Dogen is pointing to in this whole Genjo Koan, that there is no isolated anything. Nothing is a self by itself. Everything is a part and parcel of everything else, including you and me. And once we really get that, it changes our way of being in the world. We're not so stiff and awkward. We can really be with each other, because in a sense we are each other. It's one reason I always think that the Dharma came to the West and to America especially, because already we have this idea of everyone in some sense being the same, that we all belong together even though we're so different, and that we're completely fair. That's the ideal. Is that we're a country that allows everyone to vote, not just the rich and the famous. Allow everybody a chance, not just the most powerful. So it makes this teaching not so mysterious, I think, for us. We already have that as an ideal, that we do belong to each other. In this book, he talks about each of us as a nodule in a web. And that's a nice way of thinking of it, too, a very, very ancient image that, of course, there is this system here that we call me, but it's completely connected in every way to everything else. It's a little knot in the infinite web of infinite knots. So maybe that's enough. He often writes about boats. I think his trip across the sea to China had a big effect on him. It makes a great metaphor. So you must have questions, discussion, something to add.
You said that living in the present was liberating, and that one didn't judge oneself. But you do reflect on your interactions with people.
Yes, yes, you do.
And sometimes you feel like maybe you could have responded better to them.
Yes. Yes.
Now, is that because maybe you weren't really in the present? You had an agenda that you were following? Or should you just, like, accept that that's where you were?
We're always looking in retrospect at what happened. So we can learn in retrospect a little bit about what behavior makes a difference in various situations. And we can control our way of being in many ways, mostly by insight into our own operations. I know several people who started out in this practice being very confused. And it's been wonderful to watch as he talks about study of the self, that the study of the self really brings you into, connects you with the way that you are, so that you can see more clearly and don't have to feel like you're bumping into things all the time. Or if you do, you know what that is. You're well enough knowing yourself that it's just a part of it rather than a big problem. I think people who do this work don't have perfect social relations at all, or are perfect in any other way either, but have more insight and self-knowledge, which is a big help on the way. And a lot of times, all we can do is say, I'm sorry. A lot of times we do things that we don't even intend to affect in a certain way. And then we do our best, but we can't be perfect. But apology always helps.
Do you apologize to yourself too?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yes.
I'm not sure it's a real question, but you've talked a few times about us being the intersection of universal nature and our own, not self, but whatever
mm-hmm.
that we are. And so, I mean, at one point in Okamura's commentary, he says, and it's probably not even fair to bring that up, but he says we should just sit and let the universal nature kind of flow through us.
Mm-hmm.
And is that is what we do in Zazen.
Yes.
But in our daily life, we are more that other thing, that intersection of universal energy and our own life force, I guess. Is that accurate? Or is that how you would...
I think what Okamura is pointing to is the third place that Dogen is also talking about. In the first sentences of this, he talks about the Buddha way, the Buddha, and then ordinary life. And then the third way is those are the two truths, but the real truth is that as we live our ordinary life, we are living the Buddha way. So it's a false separation, really, which we need to do in order to understand. But the reality is that what we think of as ordinary, messy, everyday life is the life of Buddha. And if we live as if we knew that, it has a different flavor. It's not so oppressive.
And the more we practice...
The more we practice and let it all flow through us, the more familiar we become with how it is and how our body and mind are at one with all of it. Yes. And there is no goal in the sitting at all. So we aren't sitting to get somewhere or to feel some special way. That's very hard to grasp. We always come back to thinking there must be something there that I'm supposed to get, something there I'm supposed to do or feel or be. And actually, it's just being where you are, just being right here with every breath, with the sound of the cars, with the airplanes going over, with the worry about family, with looking forward to a vacation, whatever is happening, it's all happening here. When we take refuge in Buddha and the teaching and the community, we say, return to Buddha. Return to Buddha. The right here, right now place. Return to Dharma, the truth. Right here, right now. Return to Sangha. To the whole web of life of which we are a part. We return, quote unquote, because we tend to drift off in our mind and think we're somewhere else. So it's kind of funny, but the truth is, we're always there. Donalyn?
I was making a small collage of, around the Oxfording pictures. And I just had this vision of this looking for the ox, you know, and I go looking for something or try to differentiate it. It's, you know, I can't find it. I just see this, the butt of the ox hiding in the in the bushes. Came up. For me, it kind of feels that we have.
Yes,